Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The College Football Experience Week 9 Season Preview Episode on Sports Gambling Podcast Networks presented by WinBet. Bet $50 at WinBet and get $200 in free bets. Bet big, win bigger with WinBet. Download the WinBet app now or visit winbet.com. That's WynNBet.com and start winning today. We're also brought to you by Sleeper. You already play fantasy on Sleeper, but now you can win cold hard cash with their brand new over under game. Just head to sleeper.com/SGP on your phone to join the SGPN group, and Sleeper will automatically match your first deposit up to $100. That's sleeper.com/SGP. We're also brought to you by us. Yes, the SGPN app is live in the App Store and Google Play Store. It is free to download, and it is your home for all of our free picks and podcasts. So grab that thing today and let it ride.
This is Brian Bosworth, aka The Boz, and you're listening to SGPN. Let it ride, brother. Peace out. Boz out.
Football Experience Week 9 Preview and Picks Episode. My name is Colby Swinging Database Dan, aka Pick Dundee. That's not a pick, this is a pick.
Nobody knows nothing.
Somebody knows. Double the price, but no one touches Dundee.
Oh man, it's great to be going. Look, we're in the middle of going through all 131 FBS teams. Subscribe to the College Football Experience on any platform you can find podcasts. Also subscribe on YouTube. Hopefully you're on YouTube now watching this thing go on live. But yeah, we're going to give you a preview, but this isn't that episode. This is our week by week preview. We hit you on many levels talking college football year round. I am joined by my co-host. Give it up for former JMU Duke defensive back, the burrito eating, sideline kiss stealing, wheeling and dealing, Patty C in the place to be.
Hi-oh. Well,
I love that part when it starts heating up. Great song there. We are also joined by third man in the booth. He was on vacation. He sent me a photo. I thought it was a fucking Norman Rockwell painting. Give it up for the DFS god himself, the rooftop IPA drinking, homebrew making, Tobacco Road living, the free lock giving, former Herndon Basketball League MVP. Give it up for NC Nick in the place to be.
I didn't know Norman Rockwell painted the University of Maine football stadium, but he should have because it was beautiful.
Look, that's right. That was on one of his
missed out. If he didn't
look, he's got a lot of art. Everyone like he normally has like a famous painting of like a kid sledding through fucking Nantucket or something, right?
Americana.
Yeah. Instead, if you go deep enough in the Norman Rockwell catalog, you will see the Maine Black Bears taking on the St. John. Back then it was St. John's wasn't pussies and they had a football program. So anyway,
you know, I caught some flack about my picture doing the 3-point stance at the 50 yard line. Some people were saying I was old, that, you know, my, the 3-point stance could have been better. Maybe my technique wasn't quite there.
Well,
got to brush up, brother. Got to brush up.
Yeah. I mean, you did kind of look like Patrick Ewing on the Seattle Supersonics. All right.
Or Larry Johnson wearing that back brace on the New York Knicks.
I kind of felt like him too.
Well, look, we got to pick a bunch of games. Hopefully you've tuned in and checked out our other episodes. If you haven't, we've picked every single week of the season, kind of have a draft, but we got to get to that. But before, we have a lot of news. This is not your traditional college football season. It's been chaos. It's been wild. The NIL, the transfer portal guys, and recruiting. Because, look, his uncles might have been lawn chairs, but Arch Manning is a Texas Longhorn. All right, he says, bring out that lawn chair down to Austin. Let's do this damn thing. So Steve Sarkisian, somehow, I have to believe this is a result of the NIL. No one just said, "Hey, I want to play for Sark and go 5-7." Right. But at the same time, the Mannings have a ton of money.
I don't think money's a big factor for the Mannings.
Still, I mean, don't you want to give your son a cool $1 million when he turns 18?
I'm sure they paid up. I'm sure Texas paid up.
I mean, he turns down Georgia and Bama, which were the last three teams on his list, so to go to Texas. So perhaps we will see some diversity in college football, especially when Texas. So this might get them to 6-6 if they play their cards right. What do you make of the move, NC Nick? Arch Manning, everyone's talking about him. They got the golden arch. We got the golden whatever Cleo McDowell says in Coming to America.
I don't think NIL played that big of a deal here, because I think all of those top teams were probably offering somewhat similar packages, I would think. I mean, we don't know that, but I don't think Texas was just, you know, that head and shoulders above the rest of the field as far as compensation. But I just think, who knows? I mean, Texas does recruit well. They've always recruited well. Is it a questionable decision by Art? Yeah, you could certainly argue that. But he wanted to blaze his own trail for the Longhorns, I suppose. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to root against them.
And look, as far as I know now, that the Big 12, it seems like Oklahoma and Texas are going to stay in the Big 12 to 2025. So Arch
might have 1 year in the
SEC. He might be heading into Cincinnati.
Oh,
he might be heading into the moon bounce down in Orlando.
Some hornet's nests. He's not accounting for
it. Or Provo. Maybe he'll soak in Provo.
Signing up for Texas doesn't really sign up for, you know, going to Manhattan or going to Ames. You know, I'm Manhattan, Kansas, obviously.
Manhattan is the Heisman Trophy. That's where they settle.
He's
that.
He's got to go to the Little Apple before he can get to the Big Apple. Come on.
Also, other news. I mean, there's a lot to talk about on the recruiting trail. We had Reuben Owens, a 4-star or 5-star, depending on what platform you use, out of Texas. He turned down Georgia. He turned down A&M to go to Louisville. And Louisville is having an unbelievable recruiting class. Scott Satterfield may be on the hot seat, but I'm sure this is one of those ones, Patty C, that we talked about in the NIL era. Louisville could be a fucking juggernaut. All right. They got Papa John's money. It's no longer Papa John's. The Shaq, Shaquille O'Neal. I don't know what's going on, but they have a money recruiting class right now. I think number 12 in the nation. They are landing players that they would have never landed before. So I can only guess that it's the NIL, but what do you make of this going on, Patty C?
Well, it's kind of like you said, or I don't know if we discussed this on air, but Louisville is the type of program that would utilize NIL and whatever advantages they can get. I feel like, I mean,
they're almost an SEC program. They kind of belong. They have like the same mindset or philosophy as an SEC program.
That might save the ACC.
Who is it? Pitino? Right? Were his infractions in the SEC for Louisville basketball?
They also have very Or sorry, they also have very lax academic standards like SEC schools.
Yeah. Certain SEC schools, but a lot of SEC schools. But
everyone not named Vandy.
Right. No, LSU. No, not LSU. What am I saying? Rick Pitino. He was at Louisville when he caught a lot of those sanctions, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And everyone was like had sanctions.
The stripper thing.
Yeah.
You know, there are a couple little scandals. I mean,
I feel like that
they're Ole Miss of the East.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're very similar to Ole Miss to me. But that's huge. I mean, Louisville, if they continue on this path, I mean, this is what I mean about the NIL though. I think we talked about it on the Duke preview. Go listen to the Duke preview. If anyone wants to come up and that has money, this is like Major League Baseball. You know what I mean? Like the top franchise that want to spend the most. I can see the bad side of that, but I can also see I can appreciate that's been going on for a long time. And if you've only had a few people allowed to that party, it seems like now everyone's getting an invite if they got the money.
That's right.
So
it's been like baseball, but now it's just different teams have money.
Yeah, it's something to monitor. And then we also had this story recruiting wise, Jaden Rashada. Once again, Florida, apparently everyone said he was going to Florida. Like it was a done deal. He was going to Florida. Well, last second he goes to Miami. A lawyer or an agent brokered this. And he definitely said he came at the University of Florida saying, I would never advise any of my clients to go to Florida because their NIL collective is all over the place. Now the NIL collective said,
gotta be that organized, man.
The NIL collective said that they had not even talked to him. Of course, that's a great answer. But regardless, there's speculation that this four-star out of California might have got paid. Patty C, I think we saw all the way up to $11 million. I heard 9.5. Either way, hilarious fuck you to the University of Florida. And I think they should schedule each other more often because this makes for great entertainment.
We're talking about Miami and Florida?
Yes. Or,
yeah. I mean,
it's a shame Nevin Shapiro was like 10 years before his time.
Yeah. Yeah.
He would be so great right now.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I mean, he'd have really that program would. Running.
What is he like? 5'4"? He's like the Dan Snyder of college football. It would be so great.
You think he's been to Epstein Island? No.
I think all of South Florida is Epstein Island. Let's be honest.
But I mean, look, it's fun to see how chippy this got. Florida message boards are calling out Miami like just people all over the internet talking shit to one another.
Nice.
That's what I we like. We want a rivalry back in college football. And that kind of helps me hop into this next thing.
It is a good segue.
Because the ACC has deemed starting in 2023. I don't know why not this year, but starting in 2023, they are going to go to a 3-5-5 format for scheduling. So they have three rivals for every single team in the land.
That's not a defense. It's not the 3-5-5.
It's not Gary Patterson's love song. All right.
Which would be a great defense if you can get 13 guys on the field, but sorry, go ahead.
No. So you got, they released these things. This is happening. This is a done deal. It's happening next year. They released 3 years of scheduling data for this all the way up to, I think even more than that, all the way up to 2026. But I mean, some of these we got to just go through. I'm going to go through. Ready? You ready for this? Boston College. There are three rivals: Miami, Pittsburgh, Syracuse. You know what? I'm on board. I'm not complaining there. Right?
Yeah.
Clemson gets Florida State, Georgia Tech, NC State.
I think they got it right.
Yeah, that's fine.
I guess. Florida, yeah. Duke gets North Carolina, NC State, and Wake Forest.
Beautiful. Keep it in the state.
That's perfect.
Yes. Florida State gets, this one's great. This one's absolutely fucking great. They get Clemson. Great rivalry, I guess. Miami, which we know is a great rivalry. And Syracuse. Nothing better than the border battle between Syracuse, New York, and Tallahassee, Florida.
A lot of New Yorkers retire in Florida. It's kind of a border battle.
It's a snowbird battle.
Well, my problem is none of them are Syracuse football fans. All right. I mean, this one's ridiculous. I'm sorry.
They probably should have put Georgia Tech in there instead of Syracuse. Yes. But yes. In general.
Or anybody.
In general.
Put Wake Forest there.
There's going to be some ones that don't make sense. I don't think you can fit everything in there perfectly.
Why?
I haven't tried.
No, yeah. You can.
Have you tried to fit everything in perfectly?
Yes. I have tried.
Patty C's been working out this puzzle.
It took me 3 seconds to make the adjustments. Instead of Florida State playing Syracuse, they play Georgia Tech, the geographically closest.
And then hang on. Let me address the rest. Okay. Georgia Tech gets Clemson, Louisville, and Wake Forest?
I see Georgia Tech and Wake Forest, kind of. Yeah.
Oh, they played a bunch.
It's a two private schools, two high academic standards. They kind of make sense. I mean, kind of.
Louisville gets Georgia Tech, Miami, and Virginia.
They're still trying to substitute Miami or Louisville for Maryland and act like Maryland or Louisville, Virginia is the rivalry that Maryland, Virginia was. And it's not. They have no history. It's stupid.
I do like the Louisville, Miami thing. Cause for the longest time, Louisville like recruited almost strictly in Florida, especially South Florida.
I like that too. I know me and Pat, we'll talk about that in a second.
I like that one too. I just don't think it should replace Tech, but
so Miami gets Boston College, Florida State, and Louisville.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that say Virginia Tech, Miami should have been on there.
You said Miami gets Florida State, Boston College, check, and then Louisville, not bad. So
North Carolina gets Duke, NC State, Virginia.
I like
it. I'm on board.
That's right. That's perfect.
I'm on board. Yeah. NC State gets Clemson, Duke, North Carolina. I think the only thing interesting here is shouldn't Wake Forest been in there?
Yes.
I think it would have been
locally.
Nice.
Locally, a lot of people are saying, you know, but the, you know, the good thing is that so they don't play every year. They play, was it every
other year?
Other year. So, you know, it's not
the end of the world.
Bad.
Well, Pitt gets Boston College, Syracuse, Virginia Tech. I think that's a win for Pitt.
Perfect.
Right?
Boston College, Syracuse, Virginia Tech. Yes. It does work.
Yeah. Syracuse, though, gets Boston College, Florida State, and Pitt. Look, I think you probably should have gotten a team closer.
You should have gotten Louisville to play
Syracuse. Even Virginia. I feel like Virginia gets Louisville and North Carolina, Virginia Tech. So you keep the Carolina Virginia rivalry and the Virginia Tech Virginia rivalry, and you force
that works. And when Louisville comes up because of NIL money and goes to the SEC, and we're able to steal Maryland back because they suck in the Big Ten.
No, Big Ten money is way better than the ACC.
Then you can just resubstitute Maryland back in, and then it works.
Here's the thing. Kentucky does not want Louisville in the SEC. They have anything to say about it, they won't get in.
And Maryland makes way too much money in the Big Ten. They're very happy with their decision.
Okay. Throw salt in my grand plan there.
Virginia Tech gets Pitt, which I like. I like it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They get Virginia, and then they get this classic rivalry, which I got to be honest, the more I thought about it, Patty C, I slept on it last night. I do recall that 0-0 overtime game.
Frank Beamer's rejoicing.
Virginia Tech
in the air.
Wake Forest. That's a rivalry now. They're deeming that a rivalry.
Geographically speaking, it's probably the closest other than UVA.
Still.
Yeah. I mean,
they still haven't played in like 5 years. I looked this up the other day, right? Wake Forest.
You're right.
Well, and here's the worst part for Wake Forest. I think they got fucked the worst. Duke, Georgia Tech, Virginia Tech. So they don't get NC State or North Carolina. They don't even get Virginia.
That's a good thing. They have an easier route, right?
No, but I'm talking about for rivalry's sake. I would think you go Duke. I mean, even Wake Forest, Virginia, the academic schools, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like it's
yeah.
And Wake Forest recruits the shit out of Virginia. So there'd be a lot of,
they give them tech,
you know,
players. Another thing I want to add on to this, they still did 8-game conference scheduling. That's the biggest flaw to me. You can have, look, I know we could dive into each one of these rivals. I can't emphasize enough how shitty that is for college football. All the Power Five need to be on the same level. Whether if it's 8, then everyone needs to go 8. If it's 9, then everyone needs to go 9. If you're trying to get these rivalries to stick within the conference, I would suggest 9.
Well, you would think, all right, the Pac-10, when they had 10, it made a lot of sense for everyone to play the other 9 teams. In fact, it would make no sense for them to only play 8. Within the Big 12, it was kind of similar. I guess they could get close enough, right? Now that the Big 12 is going to 12 or 14, you know, then you would think, okay, we can do away with the 9-game conference slate and at least drop down to 8 and get
no,
on
but I think if okay, a lot of this reasoning for this realignment stuff is attendance has been down. College football TV rating wise has even been slightly down, but especially attendance. And you could argue it's the fact that Furman's playing fucking Alabama and Nick Saban's bitching about fans not showing up. But some of it is also the fact that Syracuse fans don't want to go all the way down to Raleigh, North Carolina. That's a far fucking trip. Just like West Virginia fans. It's like, huh, we used to have to go to Pitt 45 minutes or Rutgers a couple hours. Now we got to go to Waco, right? Conference yeah. realignment has fucked up that.
Sure.
So they're well, trying to
do. And just wait now, you know, as we slip into a recession, you know, people won't be able to afford these big road trips. They won't be able to afford as many expensive things like season tickets.
Yeah. And I think, that's true. I think college football is kind of having this renaissance where they're coming back to wanting to play their rivals, right?
It's a good thing.
Yes, that is a very good thing. My and problem in general, is with 9 conference games, you're going to get more of that. So like Virginia Tech, Miami, where they deem that not a rivalry, even though we all think maybe it is, right? Well, if you the more conference, if you did 6 and 6 each year, yes, there would be one team that potentially you play 2 years in a row, right?
Yeah,
that your chances of having that happen would be good for the sport, just because you're going to have another rivalry.
Oh, obviously, yeah. Within your conference, assuming your conference is pretty much geographically like based, then the more conference games you play, you would think. The less travel you have to do.
Yeah.
Then again, they fill in those teams with some local FCS schools. So maybe not,
but still, I still feel like if you're trying to get attendance,
trying to fill out
no one's
stadium.
Going to the fucking FCS games. That's apparent.
That's true.
Right. Then you would think you would want to do
or a local group of 5 team.
Yeah. But even that, is that bringing in when Charlotte plays Wake Forest or Duke or something, are they going to bring in, or is it going to be when they bring in, you know, NC State, you know, or whoever, you know what I mean? My point is that the more they schedule, see, the college football landscape's been dumb over the past, ever since we have this 4-team invitational, we've avoided playing tough opponents, in my opinion, which has then hurt season ticket sales, right?
Sure. Yep. Definitely.
So a large playoff would solve all of this. A large playoff would solve all of this because you'd say, hey, we get this game again? Oh, let's go. It's just, I think 9 conference games makes more sense if you're trying to build, if you're trying to get more money, more people to come see you, and also from a television standpoint.
You're trying to have more relevant games, yes.
From a television
standpoint. But it doesn't help if the ACC switched, but the SEC didn't.
True.
Yeah, obviously there's a clear advantage for teams in leagues with 8 game conference schedules because they can load up on some cupcakes out of conference. And if they are a team that's vying for, you know, a playoff berth, they can get an easier route. That's why it's there.
Well,
so yeah, for college football in general, it's not a good thing, but
yes
good luck
and
trying
no,
to
though.
Convince.
Yes and
good
no,
luck
though.
Trying to convince a conference to go back to 9. If there's not an expanded playoff.
Well, no, but I think you need to do that even if there's not, because your strength of schedule, because the new SEC, when Texas and Oklahoma get in there, they're going to be like they're going to put in a 3-loss team over a 10-2 Wake Forest team or something like that. So if you were to strengthen up your schedule, because unfortunately they are going to go by the strength of schedule thing. That's already fucking
strength
jaded.
Strength of schedule
right?
will never supersede record only on a group of 5 at the power
when
5
Texas
level
and Oklahoma get in the SEC. It's going to be a game changer, dude.
Sure. That's going to be a different
look. And they're going to take teams that are going to be 10-3
2-loss teams
over a team that would be, I wouldn't be surprised if they did that. If Wake Forest went 11-1,
a 3-loss Texas.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you want to beef up your strength of schedule. I think you want to do that by adding more conference games.
I think that would have to happen a couple of years first before a conference would react that way. I still don't know if the SEC, even with those additions, are going to get like 3 teams in the playoff. I mean, they're pretty accustomed to getting 2.
ESPN is in charge of that. Guess who? ESPN. It's a complete conflict of interest. As I mean, we know this is a sham for a long time.
Yes. Yes. I mean, we're getting you know, down a different road. But so look, you can nitpick this new ACC plan, and it's not perfect, but I think we can all agree it's better.
Oh yeah. Go back to your fixing.
Okay.
All right.
Well, before Patty does that, can we all agree that it's better than what is in place now?
Yes. Of course.
Where, you know, teams where Duke and NC State play every 7 years,
of course,
they're 15 miles apart.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Okay, I mean, at least it's a good thing.
We get that every other year now, or that one every year now, but certain rivalries that probably should happen every year are having every other year at least. But we still get Syracuse, Florida State every year. Thank God that one's not gone.
I do want to see how Patty, you know, worked it out. You know, what he switched around to make it work. So
I mean, I haven't gone in a deep dive, but they're just like right off the bat. I was like, okay, Florida State is playing Syracuse. Florida State and Georgia have been in the ACC together.
Georgia Tech.
Florida State and Georgia Tech have been in the ACC together since what, 92 when Florida State joined. They're the geographically closest teams to each other, and they have them playing Syracuse, who, you know, could play Louisville. You know, and Louisville's this thing that doesn't have any rivals, so you can completely manipulate their schedule to match them up who you want. But it just so happens that a lot of the teams up north don't have other long-term conference rivals either. So because they were together in the Big East or at different times in the Big East, put them together. It makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, and they probably played each other more, and lo and behold, Florida State and Georgia Tech played each other more. Same thing. Like, okay, what I think is there's probably like a competitive balance thing in play here that Florida State versus Miami, Clemson, and Georgia Tech every year is probably kind of unfair to Florida State if Syracuse is playing Boston College, Louisville, and Pitt every year.
It's not like Georgia Tech's any good, but I guess they have a better history.
Let me ask you this.
They have more potential, I would think.
Will it hurt Virginia Tech that they don't, I mean, they don't draw Georgia Tech or Miami? I mean, those are two cities that you could really recruit in.
Would it hurt who?
Does it hurt Virginia Tech that they don't get Atlanta or Miami or anywhere in Florida?
You could definitely make the argument that, you know, there are recruiting advantages for, you know, playing certain teams every year. But, and I know that, like, you know, when they made the divisions before, they wanted to make sure each team had the opportunity to play in Florida. That's why they put Florida State and Miami in different divisions. But the other thing is, okay, I know you said Louisville and Miami.
Yeah.
I like it. You know, I remember when Petrino was playing.
I think it's a Snellenberg Bowl. I like it.
Both are asshole kind of teams. You know, they fought each other back in the day. They have a similar vibe. So I don't mind it. That one could get chippy pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And it's been chippy. But Virginia Tech, Miami has a better history to this point. And I think both fans consider it more of a rivalry. And, you know, if you, the thing that's confusing to me is like a Virginia Tech versus Wake. If you're trying to make that a geographic rivalry, why are you taking a shitty geographic rivalry and trying to make that, and then not at the same time willing to take a non-geographic rival in Syracuse and Florida State and try and make that a thing? Like,
yeah,
it just makes more sense. Take, if you're going to do a non-geographic rivalry, make it a good rivalry, Virginia Tech, Miami. And then if you don't have a rival for Syracuse, don't give them a team on the other fucking side of the coast. You know, put them against Louisville.
I wonder if Syracuse is happy with that for recruiting in Florida, or are they pissed about that? Because
I mean, they would
their
still
fans are never going to show up down there.
They would still get down there every year if they just put Miami and Florida State on, you know, alternating years. Like, they would still be playing a Florida team every single year.
What do you guys think of this too? The top two ACC record win percentages will play in the ACC championship. I think that's interesting because you could have a situation where, you know, Georgia Tech, you know, loses every out of conference game, but they win the their schedule. And
is it conference win percentage or is it
conference win percentage?
Conference win percentage.
Yeah,
yeah, that's true.
Well, that's always the case. I've never seen any conference take overall record into consideration.
That's true.
I'm trying to think,
but you're right. If Syracuse somehow went 8-0 in conference, but finished 8-4. And then Miami lost to Florida State in their only loss of the season. Would you rather see Miami and Florida State rematch, or would you rather see Florida State Syracuse or whoever? You
know? Well, that Florida State Syracuse is a rivalry.
That's
game,
true.
So we'd
want
to see that.
That's true.
All right, look, let's hop into this mix. We still got 30 picks to do here, but before we get into our draft, I got to get us paid. All right. I want to tell the folks out there that this guy's opening up. He sounds like a fucking duck over
he's
there.
He's got a duck call.
I want to tell you that the College Football Experience is brought to you by WinBet. Yes, make sure to get down on WinBet's $50 to win $200 promotion, where a $50 bet qualifies you for up to $200 in free bets. And right now, they have the ultimate fantasy football experience, where if you bet $500 or more on sports or in the casino before July 31st, 2022, You get entered to win the ultimate fantasy football draft experience at Encore Beach Club, including a two-night stay at the Wynn Resorts for you and your entire league. Yes, your entire league. Multiple entries are allowed as well. So there's so much to choose from, and all you have to do is download the WynnBET app or visit WynnBET.com. That's WynnBET.com to get started today. Offer subject to change terms and conditions at WynnBET.com. Must be 21 or older. Present in the state where play the WynnBET is available. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700.
Micro Machines.
Yes. All right, folks. It's that time. All right. It is that time where let me just cue up something here. Let me just cue up this. We are now drafting. It is week 9. And I finally feel like the schedule gets interesting. We've alluded to this on earlier episodes that this year's kind of been a little weak so far. I think week 9 gets us back
yes,
on
sir.
Track.
Great week.
I'm actually a little bit bitter, and I'll explain it away. Let's hop into it first. By the way, I am on the clock. First pick for best game. We're going to go through 30 picks of the best 30 games of the week for week 9, 2022. Let's roll. Guys, we got a brand. I mean, there's a lot to like on this schedule here, but I got to take you to Happy Valley, Pennsylvania. I feel like everyone wants to talk Ohio State, Michigan. Michigan finally got that win last year. But over the past decade, in my opinion, Penn State, Ohio State has been the real rivalry in the Big Ten. East. Jeez. So give me Ohio State going to Happy Valley. Remember that block kick return for a touchdown? I mean, even the games in Columbus have been fun. I feel like Penn State's had them on the edge a couple times and botched it. Give me Ohio State at Penn State as the best game of the week. NC Nick, your thoughts?
I agree, man. I had it number one too. This is Halloween weekend. This is going to be a whiteout. You know, it's going to be prime time. And I think it's actually, you could argue that it's Ohio State's toughest game of the year.
Every year, I feel like.
I mean, look, their schedule's loaded this year, but they're all home games. They get Notre Dame, Wisconsin, Iowa, and Michigan at home. So this is definitely their toughest road trip. They also play at Michigan State, which, you know, is tough as well. But yeah, these games in Happy Valley are classics. You know, there was the 2016 game where Penn State won by 3. In 2018, Ohio State won by 1. These games always deliver. It's my number one, too. Can't wait for it.
Boom, Patty C, Ohio State, Penn State.
I would have to agree with you. Top game of the week. If Penn State could have found a way to win more than one out of what the last 10 or
so, they've had them on the edge before. They did one of the games they were up by 10 with like 7 minutes left and lost in Columbus.
Brutal. I'm looking here. 7 of the last 8 contests decided by 2 touchdowns or less. Very competitive, even when Ohio State is in national championship contention. So Penn State, right there, when they joined in the 90s, Nick, you were a big Penn State fan back then. Penn State kind of had control of that series, or it was at least pretty competitive, right?
Well, at that time, Ohio State wasn't, you know, what they are now. And I think Penn State, you know, those were kind of Paterno's golden years, you know, the team in 94 that went undefeated. So, I don't have the series in front of me, but I think Penn State won probably at least 3/4 of those games through that decade or so.
Yeah, I'm looking right now. It looks almost 50-50, actually. It looks from 93 to 99, the first 6-7 years they were in the conference, it was within a game at least. Let me see what
that really
is. Yeah, 4-3 in favor of Ohio State for the
really
first. Yeah,
see, wow, in favor of the Buckeyes too. Wow.
But it looks like Ohio State was winning close in several of those games. Penn State won by 49 in one of those games. So I mean, it's easy to remember Penn State's dominance in some of those games, especially when Penn State went undefeated one of those years. They seem like the better team, although Ohio State was elite in the 90s too. Either way, this rivalry since they both joined the Big Ten has been awesome. And now that Michigan's taking a step back, you're right, best rivalry in the Big Ten East for sure.
Michigan has taken a step back.
Well,
I mean, before let me ask you this:
before last year,
is Ohio State going to win this game?
Yeah.
I'm going to say no.
No,
I think Penn really? State, I think Penn State gets them.
I mean, you're telling me that I have to pick, you know, don't even worry about spread, just straight up who's going to win. I mean, yeah. You have to pick the Buckeyes. You know, sure, it's a very dangerous road trip. I would not be surprised one bit if Penn State won, but I have to pick the Buckeyes.
I'm taking Penn State, upset special.
All right.
I've done this every year. Patty C laughed at me when I told him Purdue was going to beat Ohio State a few years ago. He laughed at me when I said Iowa was going to beat Ohio State a couple years ago. This is my one for this year, buddy.
Wow. Calling it early.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah. Let's see the lead up to this one.
Sean Clifford, first time in his career, he's had a 2 years with the same offensive coordinator.
Wow. Mm. Could be a breakout year for Clifford. Ohio State hosting Iowa the week before. Penn State hosting Minnesota the week before. But then, you know, I don't know. It looks like a competitive game here. I would love to see Penn State win.
All right. Well, look, next up on the clock, it is Patty C.
Where to go? You have about three games here, maybe four games here that are all very close to and could be in second place here. I am going to go with just because I don't know. I don't know. I think Michigan, I'll go Michigan State.
This is a great question because so Michigan State at Michigan, does Mel Tucker go 3-0 against Jim Harbaugh?
Oh man. I mean,
Harbaugh is just 3-4 overall versus Michigan State. And, in the last 15 games, Michigan State is 10-5 over the Wolverines.
I have a terrible memory of this because I was a guy that bet on Michigan on the money line,
or the block punt game,
the block punt game. I'm sitting there celebrating. I'm celebrating it and talking to my guy, rest in peace, Richard Alderete. And you know, I'm sitting there saying like, oh, this was easy money. I knew Michigan was going to get him this year. And then boom. And that stupid punter, if he just goes down on the ground, it was all worth it though, to get that gif or that meme of that fan.
Yes.
What do they call that? Surrender Cobra.
Oh, that shit was hilarious.
Well, I mean, I can speak on this game because my wife is a Michigan State grad and her family is like divided, you know, half of it is Michigan fans, half Michigan State. So it's always on, you know, at our house every year. And it is a fun game. It's a great rivalry. I had one game higher, and I'm going to pick next. I'll tell it to you. But yeah, you can't argue. This is a great game. So
I actually had this as a top.
It's always, too. Yeah. Okay. Did you? Okay. Well, so this game, I think, you know, schedules are trying to become like a more of a pattern. So these games are always Halloween weekend.
I think that's right?
Both Michigan State. Yeah. But that's, you know, Florida, Georgia, Michigan State, Michigan, and I think Ohio State, Penn State now too.
Interesting. Haunted house. Both teams treating this game with respect to taking a bye week before it. Harbaugh.
That's the other thing I've noticed. I'm sorry to cut you off, but a lot of these games this week, there are some big rivalry games and both teams have byes. It almost seems like conferences are trying to plan, you know, for when teams face each other, they have a bye. The other, you know, both teams have a bye.
I kind of hate though that we kind of had three lackluster weeks. Like, spread some of this out a little bit.
Yeah,
yeah.
This is a heater of a week here.
It's a great week, but at the same time, spread it out a little bit.
I hear you.
All right, NC Nick.
I already mentioned it. Colby and I have been there. The world's largest cocktail party. 3:30 p.m. like usual. You know, again, both teams coming off a bye. It may not have been a big game last year. Georgia won 34-7, and actually Georgia's won 4 out of the last 5. And I guess it might be the same thing this year.
No,
but come on, it's Florida, Georgia, world's largest cocktail party. This game's great every year.
But me and Patty C were just talking about this. The wheels came off with like it was a 7-0 game with like 2 minutes left before the half.
And
I want to say Anthony Richardson scrambles around, fumbles the ball. Georgia scores. And then I want to say it was like a pick six. All of a sudden it was 20, like within 2 minutes, it went from 7-0 to like 28-0, I feel like, or 21-0 at the half. And you're like, oh man, it looked like Florida was actually, this was going to be a really good close game, but
That and, was, and let's face it, Georgia lost everybody. So this game's interesting. It could be closer than some might expect.
I mean, look, the fan bases are great. I was making this case on the Florida preview, the Florida team preview, that I wish this would be on campus because I have memories of it being on campus. But to be honest, I was wrong. I mean, yes, I was right that they did play on campus in the 90s for a few years, and I would prefer that, but I didn't realize that they've been playing in Jacksonville since like the 1920s. So,
and we had a pretty good time in Jacksonville too.
Yeah.
Lots of history.
Shout out to Jacoby.
Shout out to Jacoby.
I want to make a clarification. I know you already know this, but, and are just cutting off the outdoor word here for studio time, but world's largest outdoor cocktail party. Thank you, college
that
football,
true.
For keeping this outdoors.
That's
imagine
true.
Putting this in a dome. Imagine if they put this in the Georgia.
It'd be terrible.
It would ruin the rivalry.
But I do think they were trying to get away from calling it the world's biggest cocktail party. And I'm like, what kind of world are we living in?
Embrace.
What's it called now? It's called
like
something
the
else,
world's
right?
biggest party. I don't know. Out of some shit like that. I don't know. It's something. It's something.
Did they rename it?
They tried to.
Oh,
we're not giving it that. It's like the Red River Shootout.
The
trying
people
to,
of Georgia and Florida and North Florida, I feel like they want to embrace this. Florida Georgia Line, I don't know much about the band, but I feel like there's a lot of jorts going on there, and they enjoy their libations. So let's keep it how it is.
Yes, let's keep it how it is. All right, I'm back on the clock. And guys, I'm a bit upset because I think I'm going to be at this game. I want to draft one more, but I feel like I got to draft the one I'm going to be at. Ole Miss is going into College Station, and we have been invited, me and the SG, like Stacking the Money Green and Real Money Kramer, down to College Station with some field passes.
Boom.
So
beautiful.
As much as I wanted to, I had one game actually higher. I think I have to take this one because I'm going to be there. And once again, I wish this was the week before because this is a great week of football that I'm potentially going to be watching from the hotel room. But Lane Train coming into College Station. I can't wait to guy that I got my 12th man towel. Shout out to Cameron Kerr. I mean, this is an awesome game. Ole Miss just won 10 games for the first time ever.
Wow.
Ever.
Really?
Yeah. The first time they've ever had double digit win season. They traveled to Texas A&M. I thought was a little bit of fool's gold last year, mainly because their quarterback play. And I still don't know that they fixed that. So
thought Ole Miss had bad quarterback play.
No, A&M.
A&M. Sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, you thought they were fool's gold.
Jeez.
Follow along, Patty. You know?
Sorry. No, I thought you said Ole Miss was fool's gold.
No, I said A&M was a little bit. I thought a little bit of fool's gold. I know they're welcoming me down there.
Okay.
So they're really good this year. I can't wait to go to this game. I think it's going to be great. 12th man in the house.
Yeah.
I'll buy a dog. I'll bring one of those lassies down there. There it is. You know what I mean?
Not my favorite breed of dog, to be honest.
Whatever. I'll buy it. I'll sell it the same weekend. All right. I'll fly down there with that thing. He'll be yapping.
Loyal creatures. Didn't you watch
they're
last year's
herding animal, Nick?
That's right.
Not a big fan.
What do you make of this game?
Awesome. I think. What do you think of Ole Miss? Do you think they were legit last year?
They were kind of like an arena football team. They remind me of the Iowa Barnstormers.
Not really. I mean, look, Ole Miss won this game by 10 last year, where they ran for 250 on A&M. Okay, so it wasn't like they were total aired out last year. That was 2 years ago.
No, but they were still kind of a finesse team. They were kind of a finesse team to me.
What I'm saying is they ran for 250 plus on the Aggies. That's getting it done.
Yeah, but it's that Jeff Lebby running. It's not that shit ain't power running. That shit's
not,
like
it's not
option
the triple option.
Read. Yeah, it's like
it's not the fullback dive.
Well, I'm just saying I would not call them a physical football team last year. Ole Miss was not a physical football team. We saw A&M what Baylor did to them. Anyway,
since A&M joined the conference, series is 5-4 in favor of A&M. So pretty good series here.
Yeah, pretty good series. Who's going to win this one? Jackson Dart against Max Lawnchair Johnson.
I mean, it's in College Station. You've got to go A&M.
Yeah, I'm going to go A&M. I'm going to be there. Come on, get the drinks ready. All right, NC or Patty C.
All right.
You are on the clock, buddy.
I feel like this one's pretty obvious. I guess if you've had two teams in recent history in the group of five that have either had a chance to make the playoff or have made the playoff, they've obviously been UCF and Cincinnati.
I had this ranked higher, but because I'm going to A&M, really? I had to boost this. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this, but both these teams could be undefeated coming into this game. The fact that it's in the Moon Bounce, as Colby calls it, and I think it should be renamed, makes it a tougher game for Cincinnati and one that UCF has a chance to win here.
No, this game's going to be awesome because I think UCF's kind of back to where they would be. You know, I know they took a little bit of a step back, but I think with John Rhys Plumlee,
I
want to
see how he
transfers.
Does. I want to see how Rhys Plumlee pans out, assuming he's a starter.
But they still brought in a ton of talent from Auburn and from some other schools.
Oh, they're going to be stacked.
Yeah. So I
the,
think
the golden, the very golden Knights win this. I'm telling you right now.
I think so. I agree. I agree. It's all.
I
the
don't
bag-
care if the Bearcats. I don't care if the Bearcats have won three in a row, including 56-21 last year. It's kind of a rebuilding season for Cincinnati. This is a fun game. I might have had a couple other ones higher, but yeah, this should be a great game.
Dude, this
and
game
it's going to be the Big 12 rivalry moving forward also.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and I think you're probably going to have, if UCF wins this, then they'll probably be hosting the AAC championship there. It's a vital game.
Against?
Yeah. Against my East Carolina Pirates. There you go. There you go. Right. Where am I at? Where am I at here? Let's go. Boom.
I'm sorry to bring it up. I apologize.
If you're not watching on YouTube, listeners. If you're not watching on YouTube, NC Nick is wearing an East Carolina shirt.
There we go.
There you go. There you go. No, but Cincinnati UCF, huge game in the AAC this year. I can't wait to watch it. I think I actually had this as the fourth best game of the week. So
Can't argue. Can't argue.
I had it seventh.
There are a couple on here that might be.
It's my turn, right?
Yeah,
it is. And let me cue you up here.
All right. So this game, I mean, the overall series is laughable. It's 78-7-2. But last 5 years, these games have been classics. I'm talking about Oklahoma at Iowa State. In Norman last year, Oklahoma wins 28-21. In 2020 in COVID, they split. Iowa State won at home by 7. Oklahoma wins a Big 12 championship game by 6. In 2019, it's a 1-point Oklahoma win. Iowa State won in Norman in 2017. So
yeah,
as lopsided as the overall series has been, last 5 years, these games have been like classics. Iowa State, boom.
I think this is correctly played, and this was originally going to be a Thursday night. You know, they moved it back to Saturday. Originally, it was a bummer. Thursday night.
That would have been so good.
And they moved it to a Saturday. This game is fantastic, and I think Jeff Lebby coming into Oklahoma, I think he's kind of going to run a little bit. You know, I think Matt Campbell had success against Lincoln Riley. I think he'll still have success against Jeff Lebby and this. This offense with Dylan Gabriel. Can't wait to watch this one. The cornfield, you know, this place will be absolutely right. You won't have to worry about it. College football attendance in this game right here. This is one you're not going to be able to find a ticket. Yeah. All right. So
hottest ticket in town.
Yes. Yes. So what do you make of this game? How do you see?
I'm just a little curious as to whether Matt Campbell can maintain. I would need to go back, but they took a little step back. They didn't live quite up to expectations. And has that wave crashed on Iowa State? We know that they don't have Purdy anymore. You guys think he's a lawn chair? I thought he was good.
Or Breece Hall.
Or Breece Hall.
Yeah, I'm more worried about the loss of Breece Hall. Than
I mean,
Brock Purdy.
They had Montgomery and Hall during, you know, their stretch.
When they won in Norman, the first year Nick was talking about, they didn't have Brock Purdy. They had somebody else. And can't recall his name. But
yeah, I assume Campbell will be able to coach up some offensive skill position players. And recruit some talent low key. He's done that. He's proven that.
Yeah, David Montgomery before. Breece Hall.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
But until it's like, it's one thing to project that to happen without seeing the proof of it. But without it, you're just going, okay, we're assuming he's going to get some guy to play ball. Oklahoma is still way more talented. You know, it's scary for that. But the fact that Oklahoma has a new coach and Matt Campbell's got some continuity there, you would think maybe there's an advantage there for Iowa State.
Yeah, I love this game. Can't wait to watch it. So many good games this Saturday. I'm telling you, this sounds bad. I'm very excited to go to College Station, but fuck, I gotta get a hotel really close.
Halloween weekend,
really close
is the new heater. And
yeah, I mean, all six of these games so far are fantastic. So, all right, the bounce is back to me. And man, I am gonna, you know what? I think this is where it does drop off a tiny bit.
Yeah.
I'm gonna take you to, I'm gonna stay in the Big 12. We're going to Manhattan. Really? We're going to Manhattan, Kansas, where I think Kansas State is a legit contender to win the Big 12 this year. Guess who was a half a yard away from winning the Big 12 last year? It was the Oklahoma State Cowboys. They return Spencer Sanders. They get Derek Mason coming in from Auburn to be the DC. I just think Oklahoma State, Kansas State in Manhattan, Halloween. This, I could see an upset from a mile away coming here. Give me K-State to take down Oklahoma State in Manhattan.
I am curious what the recent history of this game would be. I just pulled up basketball, so it'll take me a second to look it up. But
I'll tell you, the Cowboys won the last three.
Okay. That's a little surprising. I mean, not that surprising, but Kansas State is the type of team that typically is able to bite even the best teams. I feel like Kansas State bites good teams as often as they lose to subpar teams. You know, they're right there. They're the Auburn of the Big 12. And so
even in Manhattan over so the last five games at Kansas State, it's just 3-2 Kansas State.
Yeah, but they're even their losses, 2-point loss in 2020. And the other loss was a 6-point loss in 2016. So right. I'm just saying this is going to be a good football game regardless.
They're going to keep it close. I mean, what we haven't done the previews for these teams yet. So I haven't done the deep dive on research for either of them yet, but I am assuming that both are returning some considerable talent. I would assume Oklahoma State is ahead of Kansas State based on last year.
Well, they lost some defenders. Oklahoma State got hit in the transfer portal pretty bad on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah.
And K-State getting Adrian Martinez. I told you, I think they have the most dynamic backfield.
Spencer
Sanders is back.
Is back. So yeah, that's a lot of experience returning for Gundy. I don't know. Going into Manhattan, that's kind of a coin flip.
Give me K-State. Upset special. You heard it here first. Come to the land down under. All right. So now, Patty C, you are on the clock.
Well, I'd love to stay in the ACC, but there's a better game out there. And I know NC Nick has this game dialed in. So I'm going to go with the SEC matchup. Arkansas traveling to the Plains to play Auburn.
And if you remember our episode where we previewed Arkansas, go listen to our Arkansas season preview episode. Because Chase Sessoms, also check out the Notorious OTB podcast, but you know, he was quick to bring up that this is the year we destroy Auburn, because the past 2 years, he says, obviously you have the Bo Nix spike game where the ball is completely thrown behind him. It's a fumble. Arkansas recovers it, but they ruled it a spike. The SEC issued an apology.
One of the worst missed calls.
That was
I've
so
ever seen.
Bad.
He turned
that
around
so
bad. And spiked it.
So bad. And then last year he said, you know, I don't recall that last year's moment as much, but Chase was saying that for the past 2 years, shitty calls have cost Arkansas wins. He says this year we're going into Auburn and we're going to beat the tar out of them. And he's got a point potentially, because Brian Harsin might not be coaching this game. What do you make of this one? Patty C,
coming off a bye, but you're right. The 4 weeks or 4 of the 5 weeks prior include Penn State, LSU, Georgia, and Ole Miss, two of which are on the road. Then they get the bye going into Arkansas. It would be an opportune time to fire Brian Harsin if they lose to Ole Miss going into a bye week, give them a little time to regroup. So with that said, you would figure Arkansas would potentially have the advantage. Arkansas coming off a bye as well.
Nick, what do you make of this one?
Yeah, I mean, it's a solid game. I don't know if Chase knows. He probably does. But Auburn's won 6 in a row in this series.
Yeah, he mentioned
so
that.
It wasn't just, I understand the last two games, maybe there was some bad whistles. Last year was 38-23. at Arkansas, which was kind of surprising. But you're right. I mean, when I looked at this game, my big question was, is Harrison still the coach?
Hurston. Not, Hurston, buddy.
Whatever, man. Don't have to correct me. Just fucking roll with it, okay? Nobody gives a shit. Everybody knows who I'm talking about. Say Harrison or Hurston. You got to correct me every time
it's
on that.
It's Auburn. Right? I think everyone doesn't get. Yeah, you're right.
Call they me don't correcting give, on people on I know. Name yeah. pronunciation. I
know. He actually knows one name. So
let's have you go through the roster of BYU and see how the fuck you do, all right? Anyway.
La Pea. It's a good game. It's a fun game. I did have ones higher. It might get kind of lost in the mix, especially if it's at the same time as the cocktail party or something like that. But it's a decent game.
All right, well, NC Nick, you're on the clock.
I thank you for saving it for me there, Patty C.
You're quite
I
welcome.
Think first off, this is a Thursday night game, and I don't have all the Thursday night games in front of me, but I'm gonna go out and say this is the best Power Five Thursday night game all year.
It would have been Oklahoma, Iowa State, those bastards.
Woulda, coulda, shoulda. Virginia Tech at NC State. It's a big matchup. I mean, obviously there's ACC coastal implications, or might be there's definitely Atlantic implications, maybe coastal too. We don't know what to expect of the Hokies. I will say that they've won five in a row in the series. So they've kind of had NC State's number, but they don't play every year. It's a fun game. It's Thursday night, you know. And actually, this week here, the weekday games are pretty damn nice. So this kind of headlines them. But great game, 7:30 p.m. Eastern time in Raleigh. Hell, I might have to go to this.
There you go. I like it. And I mean, I don't know. Does week one count as a Thursday? Because you do have
not really,
you
not
have
really.
West Virginia, Pitt, and
Purdue,
Penn State. You also have a Virginia Tech, West Virginia Thursday night game. I think week three.
I think from a combined end of season wins
and Egg Bowl Thursday, Thanksgiving Thursday.
That doesn't count either.
Okay,
that doesn't count either.
A lot of ones don't count. I got you. He's trying to squeeze in this ACC shit. All right. No, this is a great game. I'm sure Raleigh will be packed, but the question is. I saw recently a publication that had NC State number 4 in the nation. I'm going to go ahead and say they're going to have 4 losses on their schedule by the time this game is played after this game is played. All right. After
well,
this game
you know,
is played.
NC State's never been a good front runner.
Yeah. It's a great game though. I can imagine this being, packed and they're chomping at the bit to take on the Hokies. Brent Pry Thursday night. Is that three Virginia Tech games on a Thursday? Are they coming back to Thursdays?
They're getting it together. On a Thursday night, it makes sense to make this game coming off a bye for both teams. But again, another game. Both teams coming off a bye.
All right. So now it will hop over to me. But before we get there, I got to get us paid again. I want to tell you that the College Football Experience Week 9 previews brought to you by Sleeper. Yeah, Sleeper's the fastest growing fantasy platform today with millions of players. You probably already have a fantasy league on there. I know I do. It's a game changing product unlike anything else in the industry. And now you can make money on Sleeper too by playing their brand new over under game. It's super simple. First in any sport, choose 2 or more players that you like and pick the over under over or the under on their stat projection. For example, number of points in a basketball game, hits in a baseball game, catches in a football game, right? Then choose the amount of money you want to enter in the contest. If you pick correctly, you can win anywhere from 2 times that money to over 20 times the money you put in. I'm telling you, and the main reason why I love it, I love Sleeper because, the over-under is great, but you also have the app where you can, the contest with your buddies. It's a lot of fun. You can have your buddies join the group, talk shit to each other. It's got a built-in chat and everything, so it's a lot of fun. So stop what you're doing and download Sleeper now to play their brand new over under game and have fun with your friends while you make some money. All right. And by the way, on your mobile phone, join our listener group on Sleeper at sleeper.com/SGP and Sleeper will automatically match your first deposit up to $100. I mean, come on. That's right. Join our squad and get the 100% deposit match. Sleeper.com/SGP. All right. It's back to me.
$300. Is that what I just heard?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Guys. There's a lot that I like out there still, but I mean, you can't, if I am going to the A&M game, It's not going to ruin my Friday night. When the Pirates come into Provo.
Because when you're in East Carolina, you go for it every time. Or you don't coach at East Carolina. You don't come to East Carolina. You don't play at East Carolina with a weak heart. Write it.
Slightly overplayed.
Hey, well, the last time BYU.
No, it's not. 8 p.m. Friday night by itself. Go right on.
And let's remind Patty C, because I think even Patty C might have a diluted memory. Scotty Montgomery went 1-0 against BYU when they came to Greenville.
17. Wow.
When they came to Greenville, they took an L. So you bite your tongue on this matchup, buddy.
Hey, Dundee, you know what they don't do in Greenville?
They don't soak.
Exactly.
There we go. They go all the way. All right.
They go for it every time.
You might get your ass ate. All right. Like,
even if that means waking up with a lot of regret, they go for it every time at ECU.
In Greenville, they fuck, and they're gonna fuck some shit up in Provo.
You better believe that. And we're coming. All right. We are coming to Provo. What do you make of the game? Patty C doesn't like it. Thinks it's overrated here.
Well, there's just some other games on the schedule that are less personal in nature.
This is the only game on Friday of magnitude.
This is a fun Friday night game. I agree.
It is. And I think, you know what? BYU kind of underratedly gets chippy too. They've been in some fights under Mendenhall.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
I could see if these ECU fans come to Provo and tear down these goalposts,
a
Mormon riot happening.
I think I need to go to this game. Maybe I show up at the College Station late. What's that?
There you go. I just want to see a bunch of ECU fans in Provo. I mean, that's just, it's like culture clash.
Wait, there's not enough alcohol. They're not going to be drunk. They're not going to be drunk. Because right.
All the beers are like 3.2%. I mean, come on.
That's what I'm saying. ECU fans are gonna be 30 beers deep and just sitting there like, are you feeling anything? I don't feel anything. What the fuck? Right? Must be the altitude. Right. This game's great. I can't wait. Friday night, ESPN. Let's do this damn thing. All right. Patty C, you can claim one of your games on Saturday. See, that's another thing. Well, why this game gets played there is because Friday night's the lone. I mean, yes, there's another game, but it's the best game of the day. So
no, this is the only one Friday.
No, I thought
There's three games on Thursday, one on Friday.
All the way down the list, we got a Louisiana Tech at Florida. No,
Louisiana Tech at Florida International is a Friday game now.
Oh, it's okay. I guess ESPN's
CBS Sports. That's because it's on CBS Sports. So keep an eye out on that.
So it should still have all the games. What is it? Louisiana Tech
at Florida International. They're going to the airport. All right. Okay.
This website has listed Saturday at 8 p.m. But whatever, okay.
All right. Well, let's hop on over, Patty C. It's going to be your chance to play a game that you think was higher rated than ECU BYU.
Well, it's got some conference implications and some division implications, and both of these teams should be on the watch for division championship. That's Pittsburgh, the defending champs of the ACC, going to North Carolina, where you would assume Mac Brown, based on his recruiting, will have North Carolina up again in what could be for the ACC Coastal here.
Yeah, last year the Coastal gonna go out with a bang. One more 6-6 team in the ACC championship.
To get slaughtered by Clemson.
Yes. Yeah. Pitt at North Carolina. I think these games have been.
They've been great. Yeah. Five straight games decided by a touchdown
really?
Or less.
Really?
These games have been fun of late. Pitt has won the last two, but they were both in the Steel City. So now we come down to Chapel Hill with the wine and cheese crowd. It's going to be fun.
Although they've been very competitive, apparently not at all memorable.
Yeah, I couldn't remember any, but hey, that's because the ACC keeps me asleep.
That's right.
But hey, I like this matchup. Yeah, maybe it is. Pitt might be flying under the radar. They return like both their lines of scrimmage. That's going to be, their D line is nasty.
A defending champ to be bringing back their trenches.
Yeah. And I believe
and to get Slovis. So, Slovis has been a respectable quarterback, at a power five level. So it shouldn't be that much of a fall off.
Pitt on the back end of a back to back road trip, Louisville, then North Carolina. Maybe
at UNC is no big deal.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I mean, look, Chapel Hill, you said it yourself. I mean,
North Carolina, they were coming off a bye.
But you said it yourself, NC Nick. They're a wine and cheese crowd.
Exactly.
I can't fucking find this audio. Gosh, I'm really botching this thing.
I'm curious as to what you're playing. I don't know.
Hippie Olympics. Doesn't matter who wins because they're all losers.
All right. And with that, NC Nick is on the clock.
All right. I could go a couple different directions here, but let me ask you guys this. You know, we know Georgia's reloading big time. If Georgia doesn't win the SEC East, what two teams might be the most likely?
I'm still going to say Florida because I can look, I get your point and I know where you're going here. I need to see it to believe it with Kentucky. Even Tennessee, like I'm wondering if Tennessee just got fortunate, kind of like Michigan State did last year. I want to see it consistently. Before I mean, if anything, I buy into Michigan State before I do Tennessee.
You got two quarterbacks here on NFL radars.
That's true.
With Hooker and Levis.
Battle against Whiskeys here too, right?
That's right. I think this is a fun game here. And I think it's you know, when we played Ole Miss Texas A&M like 5-6 games ago, what's the difference really? You know, because I think these two teams could have almost just as much say in their respective divisions. So yeah, Kentucky, Tennessee.
I think the difference is this though, buddy, is that I think A&M is up 5-4. I think Tennessee has still owned this rivalry. And if you pull it up, yes, they still have. Yes, Kentucky's only won three in the past. They've only won three games since 1985 against Tennessee. Three games since 1985.
Those have all been relatively recently. Though,
they have been relatively recently, but still, even with that, Tennessee has still won three of the past five. And I think
that's pretty fair.
Okay. Okay.
Let's not talk old shit. Okay. Let's talk, recent history. Last 5 years is 3-2. That sounds pretty tight to me.
And they've only won in Knoxville once. Once.
The last time they played 34-7.
Once since 1984. Holy shit.
You're bringing up old shit, just like a woman.
Hey, who do you think wins this one? I think this is a good game because I have no idea who's winning this game.
Yeah. It's gonna be tight, man. It's gonna be close. It's not gonna be 34-7 this year.
Yeah, I mean, Kentucky 10-win team multiple times recently, right?
Yeah.
And then Tennessee presumably coming up, continuing to grow. I think we might have an immovable object meeting an irresistible force. Something like that.
Yeah, sign me up. I like it. Okay. Patty C. Oh no, this is me now. What am I talking about? All right. Well, before I get to my draft pick, I just want to, if you're watching on YouTube, just hang on for a second because for the podcast's sake, we got to switch over to side B. So hang on one second.